Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We are your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline, and today we are recapping season 6, episode 6.
Yes.
Of Pretty Little Liars called, could you imagine, we start recapping our own episodes.
Oh my God.
Okay, screw it. We're not doing Gossip Girl when we finish Pretty Little Liars. We are just going to recap our own episodes.
That'll be Megan Albadrez's first podcast.
You always say Megan Albadrez, but I do believe it's Dress. Like, only about this dress you could take it off, like the song.
Well, Megan, if you don't know
how to say something, just ask me and I'll give it to you within a Taylor Swift song, and that will like perfectly explain it to you. Megan Albadrez did us like such a gift, a New Year's gift today. Did you even see?
I didn't watch all of it because it's like a gazillion.
Because you're not a real
long fan. Well, yeah, and I've been meaning to say that.
She said.
No.
She sent us all of the Tortured Poets Department set from the Eras Tour on TikTok.
We really converted her.
We really did. I was like, so what are your thoughts? She's like, I watched the entire thing. Phoebe didn't even watch the entire thing.
No, I didn't.
Anyway, today we're recapping season 6, episode 6 of Pretty Little Liars called No Stone Unturned. This was a funny episode.
It was like a full comedy, and it was like,
yeah,
a lot of stuff did happen, but also not.
Hannah's making me LOL.
Hannah's so funny.
She's in her I don't give a fuck era.
She's in her if I don't do it, who will era.
Exactly, which is funny because normally Spencer's counting on everybody not being in that phase, because like if they're in that phase too, she no longer looks like the most productive one. Mm-hmm. In fact, in this episode I was like low-key giving slacker vibes.
Well, absolutely. It's because she's a crush.
Oh great. And by the way, I stand by what I said about Dean being a bad boy. You watched this episode and you didn't get bad boy vibes from no drugs Dean, as Hannah called him.
Don't get like drug free Dean.
You're right.
I just don't get like overt like bad boy energy from him. He's a little broody, but he's not a bad boy to me.
I just think it's crazy because his whole thing is that he like is a reformed bad boy, but he's.
Yeah, but we didn't know him when he was.
Still like the leather jacket and the like and the broodiness that's what makes him the bad boy.
I don't know. I just never thought of him as a bad boy.
But now you do.
No, I don't.
Why?
But I don't. I apologize.
Okay.
We disagree.
Well, that's stupid. Guys, if you agree with me, weigh in. Come on, seriously, show yourselves. I'm right. Yeah. Dean is a bad boy. His name's Dean. You don't name someone Dean with the intention for them to be a freaking goody two-shoes.
Dean from Gilmore Girls. We had this exact conversation last week.
I know. And like as I said in the beginning of this conversation, I stand by what I said in our last conversation. This episode solidified it for me.
And
Phoebe K. Connell, when he said the words, you have a boyfriend and the bad part is I don't care. That didn't give you bad boy vibes?
He just doesn't give me the full package bad boy energy.
Well, can you describe for you, Phoebe, what the full package bad boy energy encapsulates? Because I must have never come across it. It must have never come across my desk in all my years of life.
I'm thinking of Jess from fucking Gilmore Girls.
Okay, but explain what about Jess makes you feel like that? Because I would argue he has some of the same qualities as Dean.
He does. But I think also partially, going back to when we met Dean, when he was her sober coach, he didn't have bad boy energy. He was her sober coach. And he was seemingly like a nice guy.
You can be a bad boy and a nice guy.
I know, but he didn't have that like hard exterior when we met him. He ha- they're trying to give it to him a little bit more now, but even now I'm still
because he's closing himself off to her.
Well, that's for sure. I was like,
which,
wait,
I'm like, Spencer, what are you doing?
I'm a little bit like, did we just cross into a portal where like now suddenly we're in like a fucking soap opera? And I also, when he said that, I was like, was that not scripted? Because
he took a step towards her and she takes a step back and then he's like, okay, nowhere. I guess you're not into it. And like, no, it doesn't. Phoebe.
No. I mean, in this moment, like it, like you don't, you think it's just going to be subtext and then he like goes to leave. And then that's why what I'm saying, it sounds improvised.
I mean,
almost.
Phoebe, you are starting crazy rumors right now. Troyan, do you hear her saying these things? Oh my God. Yeah, the sexual chemistry was off the freaking charts on set that day. And he improvised and they said, and because that is going to solidify for someone somewhere that he's a bad boy, bad to the freaking bone, we're leaving it in. One take done.
One, yeah.
Anyway. Phoebe's going to get us started with a recap and she is going to absolutely start a party with this. And mm-hmm. I can't wait to just feel my adrenaline go through the roof.
Let's hope my notes are good enough.
Me too.
Guys, Leslie Stone is back. And in this episode, we find out that she has a professional in a social spelling of her name. And we'll get more on that later.
Phoebe looked at me as if she was positive I'd burst out laughing.
Anyway, she's being a freaky menace. She's yelling at Hannah in the middle of the brew and telling Mona to basically kick rocks. Aria saw A in a junkyard, and guess what? A's a girl, according to Aria, because of the picture.
And say it. Say what it really was. She had boobs. Why wouldn't you say she had huge freaky knockers? Why wouldn't you say that?
No, I don't like to objectify. I don't like to objectify.
Well, that's what Aria did. You're not objectifying. We're literally just telling you guys what happened. And Aria said, she's got massive freaking knockers. A is a girl.
And we saw this because Clark, you guys remember Clark, that weird secondary character, the tertiary character that we've been introduced to.
You have so much beef with Clark, and I just don't think it's that serious.
He's just, like, annoying to me.
But he's not mean. Hey, in this world, I will take an annoying person over a violent criminal any day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, Phoebe. Unless it's Mona.
So, Aria stole Clark's pictures to, like, get a better look and to prove to the girls that A is a girl, not a guy. Sarah confronts Emily for looking for A and is like, what have you done? And also, I think I'm being followed. We need to work on our Sarah impressions because she's got such
You're
a...
You're saying we.
We'll do yours.
Well, I don't need to do it yet.
Okay.
You're on the recap.
Guys, we're in Spencer's stoner era and she's like getting high off of weed, cookies,
she's getting high off of weed and cookies, etc. You heard this, moms of Rosewood.
And then we meet Dean again because Spencer is like, oh my God, I'm so fucking hungry. Where the grocery store is closed, I have to go to this NA meeting, I guess, and steal their food. And she goes and she steals a brownie, and then that's when Dean sees her and they kind of reconnect. Hannah and Spencer go to Radley to go find Charles's file, hopefully, and they run into Mona, who's there to steal Leslie's Radley file. So yeah, Leslie was at Radley. That's how she and Mona met, and she was at Radley long enough to know both Mona and Charles and Bethany Young. Spencer tells Emily, who's really like doesn't believe this can be real because her precious baby bird Sarah was kidnapped, and she's like, what was the point of that? She didn't even know Allison, she didn't know Bethany, etc., etc. And Spencer says it was a rehearsal until A could get her hands on the real Allie. And that's the recap.
All right. One sec.
We start at the Hastings Castle. And Emily, I'm like, Emily, okay, first of all, Emily's giving Allie a couple episodes ago when we were in one location learning about Charles. And then we don't see her be moved into the Hastings Castle where she has to convey to the audience her shock.
Oh, that scene, like, the transition.
Exactly. And now Emily is in here and she's like, what? She's doing what she would have been doing in Hannah's kitchen. I don't believe she's still on this. She's like, what do you mean, Leslie?
They're just all on different pages right now. And that's the issue. That is the issue. They are all on completely different pages because, like, Hannah and Spencer have realized now that Leslie's A and they don't know how she and Mona really met. And Spencer goes, well, now we know why. They were sharing a straitjacket.
It's just like a lot.
And Emily's just like, I'm just not buying it. Which is when Spencer has another great line. She goes, Mona maintained a 4.0 average in perfect hair while tapping Rosewood Police Department's calls. And I'm like, actually, icon shit.
And it is, like, it does make sense when we're all looking at it. She's like, Mona was handed a gas mask. We were all on fucking morgue tables.
Like, Mona got special treatment, and we don't actually know what happened because we weren't with her. So,
and
like,
Emily is literally like, and
I know Mona, why doesn't Emily want to believe it?
I don't get it. I think she's just being stupid, if I'm being honest.
Mona, I mean, Emily has no allegiance to Mona or Leslie.
Mm-mm.
It's Emily is acting like they're saying it's like Shower. You know what I mean? And also, like, Shower was in there in the dollhouse prior, and so was Mona. Mm-hmm. So like everything the girls really know about Mona's experience, she told them, you know, except for the things they experienced together. None of which featured torture for Mona,
mm-hmm.
you know? So Mona knew a lot about them. Like, I would see how, if I'm Emily, this actually isn't that hard for me to believe at all, which is why it's interesting that she's the one who struggles so much. And then Hannah comes and she's like, Mona's totally unplugged. Like,
Spencer's, or I think Emily says, where's Hannah?
Yeah.
And Spencer goes, probably dragging Mona here on a leash.
Yeah. And it turns out Mona's mom busted her for sneaking out to Radley.
Imagine that conversation. Imagine the conversation between a mom and her daughter who was just abducted and kept in a hole.
Who you had a full funeral for.
Exactly. Who faked her own death.
Yes. And you genuinely believed was dead for a while.
You actually slapped a minor because you thought.
And there was a whole trial.
And now you're finding her sneaking back into the sanitarium where she was previously a patient.
Also, the sanitarium
that's abandoned.
Okay.
Yeah.
Easy. I mean, yeah, I think I would unplug like, all Mona's devices like as well.
Parent 101.
Hello. So Emily's like, well, I got to go because I have an appointment with my mom and Dr. Sullivan. I have to go get my brain shrunk. And then Aria's at Hollis putting Clark's photos back that she stole. And Hannah's like, oh, I just want to stick together and catch this girl in the act. And like, nobody will just
fucking
do it.
She's like, let's go to Philly. Let's freaking go to Philly.
Then we go to Kendi seeing a note
this
on
man's crazy.
His car. He gets a happy birthday card that shakes him to his core. He's giving Heather guy. He runs up to Emily, who's riding up on her bike. He goes, who put this on my car? Like, have you put your name in the Goblet of Fire? He's giving Dumbledore and Heather guy.
And Emily is literally like.
He goes, have you seen anybody outside of my house in the last hour? Yes or no?
It's like, how would she know?
He's like, no one's allowed to know my birthday. No one's allowed to know my age. No one's allowed to know the month, the year, the date, my astrological sign. None of your business. He's literally guarding it the way Heather Gay has allegedly been hiding her birthday.
I love when we find out later that this isn't even a birthday card for
I know.
Ken.
I just like the way that my mind went with it initially.
A is funny. A is like, I love the idea of A being in Target buying a birthday card for themselves.
I know. But A most likely is shopping on Amazon.
I guess
I would love. Okay, new post idea. A's Amazon order history.
No, because we're gonna get flagged by like the FBI.
You're right. I can't search anything A would search, but that is so funny to think about.
Yeah.
The things. What did A order on Amazon?
You know how teachers do their like wish lists,
yeah.
And people can like gift
yes.
them.
Oh my god! A ordered like every new Bratz doll. A ordered.
Guys, A got a little crazy with the doll stuff this episode.
I agree with you.
That was a little much.
A actually couldn't order those dolls on Amazon. They were ordering those dolls on like eBay, Craigslist. Like those are dolls that have been in someone's attic for a long time and have since been refurbished.
Oh, like, yes. Like a nightmare version of that scene from Toy Story.
Yeah. So Clark catches Aria putting his stuff back. And I really was thinking he thought she stole his photos to enter into the contest and use them, which I know she wasn't doing, but that would be
no,
so
but
funny.
We learned that Clark actually immediately clocked who Aria really is because he said,
it's like, I can tell you're vain.
He literally, he's like, you're taking the pictures of you, aren't you?
And he's like, every time we walk past a reflective surface, you stop.
It's literally
I have to be like, Aria,
it's
come
literally
on.
That scene in Wicked.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Exactly.
Well, hello.
Hello. Exactly.
Okay. Wait, question about the Wicked situation.
Okay.
Okay. Is the cut that's on that you can buy right now to watch at home?
I believe it has everything.
It has this, and they're put in the movie where they would be.
I think there are multiple versions. So if you buy it, there's a version with commentary. There's a version with. It's sort of like if you get a DVD and they're like special features.
Okay,
but I think they have a version maybe that you can watch with the deleted scenes added in.
But it's not like.
But I don't know.
Because I feel
sure.
like sometimes you used to buy a DVD and they'd be like deleted scenes.
Yeah,
and you
I
just
think
watch them. separately.
I would love it if there were both options. Like, you can watch separately.
I keep seeing them and I'm like, scroll. I don't want to see it yet.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But if you can't watch them within the context of the movie, do you care?
I would prefer that.
I know, but if you can't.
I mean, if
then will you stop scrolling? Like, will you watch them?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Well, we should figure it out.
Okay, so they're talking. He thinks that it's because they're the pictures of her.
He goes, you could have just said, you don't want me taking pictures of you. You didn't have to go out klepto. Then he goes, what's next for the morning bandit? He is like leaning into this and I'm loving it. You know, Arya's like, I'm not even the one who steals shit, okay? You should meet my friend Hannah. You have a lot to say about her. She goes back and starts calling Hannah the morning bandit. Hannah hopefully steals a vehicle in this episode.
Arya has such a funny line later that wasn't meant to be funny, but it did make me
laugh.
There
are a lot of lines that I was like giggling about.
So they are like going to get arranged. Well, he asks if she wants to get bagels because they talked about bagels earlier. And she goes, yeah, I can't actually right now. Sorry. She's such a bitch.
She's actually so rude to everybody in this episode. And it's not even the lines or the words that she's saying. It's just her whole vibe.
Literally. So we go to the Marin Manor, and this is where we learn that Leslie has a professional and social spelling of her name. Because on the website for the school where she works, it's Leslie with an E.
No way. I did not catch that.
And then when Hannah types it, it's Leslie with no E.
Well, because Hannah's like, oh, that happens to me all the time. People always put an H on the end of my name. It's like, we used to do. I love when people comment and they're like, actually about stuff like that Hannah wouldn't listen to or Hannah, and they use an H. And I'm like, what do you know? So Caleb walks in and again, I stand by that they're not broken up yet.
Oh, well, Leslie or Hannah sent a text.
Oh, yeah.
To Spencer?
Emily.
Saying Leslie's a TA in the science department and she works in a lab.
Yes, at a college.
Mm-hmm.
So Caleb then walks in, and again, they're definitely not broken up yet.
You're right. I just thought they were. And honestly, like, Hannah's acting like she thought they were too.
Hannah is acting crazy, but I'm like, Caleb loves Caleb. Just stick it out. Come on. And he's like, okay, what's this lump on the back of your head? She goes, I don't know, lint. I just woke up. I'm like, you have a full face of makeup on, Hannah. First of all, you didn't just wake up. Second of all, lint, girl. What do you mean lint? Is it making a big old lump in the back of your head? And later on, based on what we find out, is this supposed to be like the chip spot?
Mm-hmm.
He's just now feeling. I'm like, no, Caleb's felt every inch of you since you got home. He will not leave you alone. I refuse to believe that he just now is feeling the lump.
Yeah, I agree. So Ashley's making breakfast and is like, how do you want your eggs? And Hannah's like, I'm fucking out of here.
Yeah.
I don't like
Hannah's
eggs.
Like, you guys are obsessed with me. Oh my God. Oh my God. She's like, I'm actually going somewhere with my friend Spencer. I'm going to Philadelphia. Not that it's any of your business. And she doesn't want a ride from Caleb.
And Caleb's so pissed.
Hannah's going to go try to get into this college lab. So shower Harvey is in Emily's room picking out clothes. And she goes, will you help me pick out something to wear to the office? And I'm like, not her trying to seduce her new boss, Caleb Rivers.
Yeah.
And then I realize, oh, that's not what's happening. She takes off her shirt. Then the next thing I think is, oh, her tattoo is going to get infected. And that's how Pam's going to find out they got tattoos.
Well,
and it's going to be game over for shower.
See it.
I know. And then they don't even mention
that. Probably because she takes 8 trillion showers.
Probably. She's like scrubbing it, trying to get it off. She's like, I thought this was fucking temporary. My mom's going to kill me. Yeah. But she like has Emily like apply cream to it.
Which was weird.
They were both super weird about it. Emily did a little eye flick thing and I was like, great, here we go. Helps her pick an outfit. And yeah, but we have a little flash forward because Emily goes, okay, your office is where Caleb plays Grand Theft Auto, which is hilarious. And what I'm like, okay, that's where Hannah learned it. When she fully steals the car later.
Well, yes. We go to the Hazy's Castle and Spencer's getting ready to leave to go to Philadelphia. And okay, last time we saw Dean, he was like, I can't step foot past the moat around your house. And now he's walking up to the back door.
Yeah.
And he has a book from his.
Because he's a bad boy. Maybe he's breaking in.
No.
Ever think of that?
He's still giving good
also,
boy.
Also, don't you think he. No, he's not. Don't you think he looks like Tucker from Big Brother? He's like a mix of Tucker and Andrew Garfield.
He's way cuter than Tucker.
I think Tucker is super cute.
He is, but there's something. It's the Jim Carrey-ness that I noticed is not for me.
This guy, I think, has a little Jim Carrey-ness.
Oh my God, no.
Oh my God, are we watching the same show? Like, whatever. I don't trust your taste. It doesn't matter. I honestly don't even trust your taste at all. So he shows up at the Hastings
house. Literally may as well have just said, I mean, you're not even married. What do you know?
You're not married. You have no prospects. I'm just kidding. I was going to start quoting something, but I couldn't remember the rest of the quote.
Is it, what's the fuck? Is it from Emma?
I have no prospects. I have no money. No dowry. I don't even know what it is.
I think it's from Emma or Jane Austen, one of the two.
It's from something like that where they're like.
Wait, is the book Jane Eyre?
There is a Jane Austen and a Jane Austen's an author. Yeah. Well, I don't know if she wrote Jane Eyre. I hate when you do this and you put me on the spot and everyone's going to be like, give back your English major. Give back your English degree.
Caroline, hey, no one's saying that.
Everyone's saying it. Everyone's thinking it. They're not saying it. They're thinking it.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my God. Aria Montgomery would be thinking it. Okay, so bad boy Dean, drug-free Dean, shows up at the Hastings Castle to give Spencer a book and asks if she's been sleeping without help, and she goes, no. I'm like, okay, we love you saying that to your sober coach. And she's then like, hell no.
He hands her new brownies, I guess the same brownies that would have been at the other meeting. And then Melissa texts Spencer, and Spencer goes, oh, great.
Spencer.
Oh, great.
Spencer needs to give me a break with this. When she literally goes, yeah, my principal asked me to stand up in front of the whole school and be the poster girl for trauma. I'm like, well, that's not really what they asked you. They asked you to be the valedictorian. Like, that is a little bit of a reach, Spence. Like,
it wouldn't even, if that happened to any of us, it wouldn't even be a conversation. Our dad would be like,
there would be no, do you want to do it?
Exactly.
It's, oh my God, I can't believe you got valedictorian. That's amazing.
Well, dad would also, even if he could see a flicker in our eye that was like, I don't want to accept it.
Yeah.
He'd be like,
what? You're out of your gourd.
Literally.
You're completely out of your gourd. I also think it's just nuts. Like, Spencer, write whatever you want to write. Until you show me the conversation with, what's his name? Principal Hackett?
Yeah, Principal Hackett.
Until you show me the convo with Principal Hackett where he said to you that he wants you to specifically talk about being held captive, I just think you could talk about being a fucking high schooler.
Spencer, I can almost promise you he doesn't want you to get up on stage at a family event and talk about being held captive.
You know, do what Taylor Swift did. We all thought we were getting an album completely about Joe Alwyn. What did she do? Didn't talk about him. Do that. Keep us on our freaking toes.
Perfect. So, you know? She tells Dean about this and everything, and Dean is like, look, if you ask me, walking across the stage and accepting your diploma is more than good enough.
Yeah.
And Spencer's like, well, I'll see you at the... I'm just assuming it's an NA meeting.
That's exactly why my mom kicked you out. And what you just said is a perfect example of why you're not my sober coach anymore.
Exactly.
Because you think okay is good enough. Okay, so we've got Hannah hiding behind a car watching Leslie.
I love when Hannah's on like a mission.
Me too.
And she has to like hide. She's so fucking funny.
She's hilarious. She like loves it for herself, which I love too. Because also I'm like, thank you, Hannah. Hannah's like, if you want something done, you have to get it done your fucking self.
And she's
self.
Also like the only person in the world except for Ashley and Caleb. And sometimes they don't, but she's like, she takes herself seriously.
Yeah.
In a way that is like, she's earnest in what she's doing.
Yes, 100%.
And like other people like are like, oh, Aunt Hannah.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, it doesn't faze her. She's just like, I'm going to fucking do the job.
Yes, exactly. It's that she's built this amazing sense of self and confidence somehow against all odds, you know.
Literally.
And I love it for her. So she's watching Leslie walk into lunch. She goes, yeah, she's walking into faculty lunch late. And she's on the phone with Spencer, who is like, well, I'm also late. And that's because drug-free Dean stopped by. Yeah. And Hannah goes, well, Toby better hurry back to Rosewood. And I'm like, you don't know the half of it, Hannah.
What's so funny is Spencer mentions Dean and Hannah goes, Dean, what are you doing with drug-free Dean?
She's like, lame, lame. Anyone that's got drug-free in front of their name.
You were the nicest to me you've ever been a couple days ago when you were high.
She's like, I want you to be best friends with the new baker at the brew, okay?
Literally.
And hook me up. That's what Hannah's thinking. And then Hannah goes, stop asking questions. Just drive faster. Hurry up.
And Hannah sees Leslie get out of her fucking Range Rover.
Yeah, okay, Leslie. And you're a college student?
Well, I think she's probably a grad student. Not that that's any different.
Well, mommy and daddy must have bought it.
Well, maybe. Who knows what that story is?
True. You know what?
She's literally freaking locked up.
So true. So true. Who are you, Leslie Stone?
Well, we don't even know, and they don't even know.
You're right.
And she doesn't even know, really.
Wow. That's quite an assumption. We don't know anything about her.
You're right. So she goes in her...
Oh, my God.
Her car gets valeted. Sorry.
Yes. Caleb is teaching Shower how to build a CMS interface, which is a responsive design that adjusts to different screens. So a photo of Kimye will look good on all devices. And Shower says, "What's Kimye?" And I turned the TV off. Said, "Okay, I'm not going to watch a show where they disrespect
and Caleb
pop
Caleb,
culture like this."
Caleb says, "Yeah, this isn't going to work. I'll send you a severance package."
Kanye and Kim? never mind, you don't need to know. And it's like, what a crazy thing. Because actually at the time, Kimye was just the biggest thing. And now look. What a disgrace.
Truly, what a disgrace. Kanye has. And then Sarah actually has an interesting little thing that happens here. And this is like one of the few moments where I'm like, oh, you're giving depth to this character that I could actually be interested in.
But it's like the first time. So it's kind of like too little, too late vibes.
Exactly. Because she's like, could you like tell me a little bit about Allison when you are forced to go by her name and wear her clothes and pretend to be her for so long? You kind of start to get curious about like who she really was. And Caleb's like, yeah, well, I don't fucking know her either.
He's like, why don't you ask Emily? And she's like, well, Emily keeps shutting it down. Like, do you think Allison knows who did this to us? And he says something interesting because right before she asks about Allison, she's like, you know, it's exhausting being on the outside all the time. I don't know anything, whatever. And he says, well, at least you have the other girls to connect with. And you can see here that like Caleb is also struggling. And then, you know, he comes back and says, when she asks, do you think Allison knows? He's like, I am just as much on the outside as you are. Like, yeah, I am completely
exactly
on the outside.
So then we go back to Philly and
Secret Agent Hannah Marin.
Hannah's like fully going to get an Oscar for this performance.
It's so funny. She like walks behind the sign really quickly and then pretends to like come out of the restaurant while the valet has his back turned.
And this actor is he's trying to secure an Emmy nomination.
Good for him.
It's like his.
He said, dress for the job you want. Act for the job you want, not the job you have.
So she's like trying. She's doing everything she can to get him to just like give her the keys to Leslie's Range Rover.
So funny. She's like, oh my God, I lost my ticket. Actually, I think I used it to throw away my gum. And like, I just got this car and I don't even recognize the keys anymore. And like, come on, you don't remember me? And like, she tries to like, she's like, did I leave it in my bra? And like, pulls her shirt. Like, she's literally pulling out all the stops. Mm-hmm. And she says, you honestly don't remember me? That really hurts. Fine, I'll just walk back to New Jersey. Does Leslie have a New Jersey license plate?
I think so.
Because I feel like that's what like sold it for him. He's like, okay, I think
and
I know.
And this is his acting. He goes, ugh. He literally does.
He looks like the Rizzler for a split moment.
He literally does like the thinking face and while he's acting. Then he goes, oh, here they are.
And here they are.
And then he goes and he sprints to go get the fucking car. And then Spencer calls and says she's almost there. And okay, wait. I just wrote down, don't get preachy with me.
Yeah, well, because Spencer's like, you stole her car. And Hannah goes, don't get all preachy with me puffing stuff. And then she gives the valet some money as she gets in the car and she goes, you saved my life. Love you. And she like, I literally rewound. I was like, did I see that correctly? She literally goes, love you.
Love you.
It's so funny. And she fully drives away with Leslie Stone's car.
I'm like, what's the plan to get it back?
I know. And we don't even see it. Exactly. I guess everything turns out fine.
I guess.
But I want to see that.
And something tells me crazy Leslie Stone isn't going to be thrilled that her car's missing.
No, and something tells me Hannah and Spencer didn't really leave it the way they found it.
No, not at all. No, but we know that things are missing.
Well, that's for sure.
So we go to the brew and this woman named Nicole comes in and talks to Ezra and is like,
she's British, by the way.
She's British or Australian.
She's got an accent.
For sure. That's
non-negotiable.
Not like Sarah Harvey.
Who has a
Dorit, Kemsley, Misha Barton kind of accent.
No. This is like a full on like, Emily Fields work here.
Exactly. And apparently this girl worked with her in Haiti and is like talking to Ezra. And Ezra's like, well, she goes, "It's I think Emily changed her phone number." And he literally may as well push her over and say, well, she had to.
I know. Well, I also.
Well, she fucking had to.
Do you want to know what I thought happened here? When we see, what's her name? Nicole. When we see her walk into the brew, I thought Emily was working the register. And Ezra, like, hears her ask, is Emily Fields here? As if, like, maybe Nicole didn't know who Emily Fields, like, what she looked like.
Oh.
And Ezra was like, I got you. And, like, ran up into this whole thing, like, so that Emily wouldn't have. And I'm like, why? I can't believe Emily's just letting this happen. Like, and then I realized Emily is not, in fact, at the brew. He's flirting.
So Ezra's going to.
Which, honestly, love to see Ezra flirt with somebody else.
Uh-huh.
We never get to see it.
You know who doesn't?
Aria Montgomery.
Aria, who by the way, ended this relationship.
Yeah, by the way.
So that's that. Ezra's going to fill Nicole in on everything. So we're at the junkyard. Like, I guess they had to get their fucking money's worth out of the set design.
Can I? Yeah. like, if this is what a junkyard is like, I'm trying to go. It's like giving Randyland exactly. in Pittsburgh.
This is, and there's a guy there running it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And she's like, well, it's so funny. Emily's like on her phone and Arya's like, yeah, it's hard to hunt for clues and be on your phone at the same time.
And pick emojis is what she says.
Which you pick emojis? Yeah. Oh my God, that's so funny. And so Emily's like, well, I just have to make sure they're the right ones for shower.
I just have to look at my Ring cameras in my room to make sure that Sarah
is there
work.
Still. Yeah.
And she's catching up Arya on like their friendship and everything. Cause Arya's like, yeah, seems like you guys have gotten like weirdly close.
Yeah, Arya seems a little concerned.
She doesn't say the word weirdly, but she may as well be like, you guys are weirdly close.
She seems concerned by their closeness. And Emily's immediately defensive, of course. And then we see Clark's here. Clark, do you live here?
And Arya can't fucking believe it.
She's like, literally mad as if this is her junkyard.
Arya's also here. Like, she's also, that's what kills me about Arya, is like, she's also there.
And also, he brought you here.
And she goes,
he brought you here before you had ever been here.
She literally goes, Clark?
As if this is the last place on earth she'd expect this person to be.
What are you doing here?
It's like,
how do you know about this place?
It's so funny. It's also, it's giving like, I'm Grisabella. How dare you come to my junkyard memory all alone? And she's like, don't you dare be in my junkyard. It's so funny the way she acts so possessive of this place.
And so then Clark's there for new pictures.
He's like, I came here to take more pictures because someone stole mine, you stupid bitch. And she's like, okay, well, shut up. I lost my tripod here.
And Emily is texting Nicole. She got the number from, or Ezra
gave
Nicole.
She's so excited.
And she goes, I'm just texting an old friend. And Arya goes, what friend?
Arya's like, I didn't know you had any friends before us. She's so mean. And then Emily's like, I didn't even know she was on the same hemisphere. And Clark's like, don't worry, I'll just drive Arya back. And Arya's like, sure. That's great. I'm like, Clark, tell me you can't see on her face that like she wants nothing to do with you. If I'm you, Clark, I'm like, yeah, fuck this girl.
That's
she can find her own way home.
That's one pro to Arya, is that you always know what she's thinking.
Absolutely.
Even though she thinks she's like that girl shrouded in mystery.
But she's also like, I wear my heart on my sleeve. Like, yeah. I'm an open book, you know, like she's kind of both depending
exactly.
on the day.
Like if she's sitting alone in a cafe, she wants to be a dark horse vibes.
Yes. And she if someone were to come and sit next to her, she'd be like,
she would like,
I'll tell you
she'd
everything.
Be writing in her journal and she would orient
she'd
herself.
She'd say, want to read it?
So that like someone could read it.
She'd say, always carry every diary I've had since I was born with me, just in case I meet someone and need to tell them my life story. How about you read this one? And he's like, this is just scribbles. And she's like, well, I was two. I was two, the earliest. They recommend journaling. It's called junk journaling, actually. Yeah. Can you see any pictures here?
Oh my God.
They actually use these in Rorschach studies later on. I don't like to talk about it too much. It's kind of dark, but yeah. Anyway, that's how that went.
I'm glad you went there. We go
You're
back
welcome.
To Philly, and Spencer and Hannah are going through Leslie Stone's car. And they find like a key fob to the lab, it seems like, and they want to have Caleb duplicate it. And this is how Caleb comes up, and Hannah's
oh
not
God.
Having it.
No.
Spencer brings up Caleb and she goes, ah, look at this hairbrush back here. It smells like a cat box.
Yeah. Spencer brings up Caleb again. She goes, why do you keep asking me about Caleb?
And I want to know the same thing.
She goes, we're nothing, okay? My mom won't let me block him out. They keep having meals together because I won't let Caleb cut my meat.
We're nothing is crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. And Spencer's like, okay, well, perfect. That's all I wanted to know. But Spencer's like, why won't you let him cut his meat? And she's like, he thinks I'm broken and I'm not, blah, blah, blah. So
and
then this is so
Spencer
fucking funny.
Him.
Yeah. While Spencer's texting Caleb, Hannah opens a box full of Leslie's glasses. And she goes, oh my God, all of Leslie's old lady glasses. Which I'm like, these are not old lady glasses. This is like the quintessential like 2013
it's like
pair
chic.
Of glasses.
It's supposed to be chic 2013.
But all it's so she Hannah holds it up
it's
and she's like, oh my God.
It's the look everybody was going for when they would take the 3D glasses out of the theater
yes.
with them and poke the holes.
Precisely.
That was like what we thought. We all thought we looked
it's
so
it's like a deeper
good.
Ray-Ban with no lenses or mm-hmm. like, you know, clear lenses. So Hannah holds it up and she's like, oh my God. I needed glasses I needed glasses my whole life and I never knew it. And then Spencer's like, give them to me and puts them on. And she's like, okay, give me another pair. And Hannah gives her another pair. She's like, okay, there's no prescription in here, Hannah. And Hannah's like, okay, I have 20/20 vision. Work. Hannah just like starts wearing fake glasses. She's like, I swear they work. I swear. Hack, I found a hack. They're cheap.
I went up 2 points on the ACT after doing it.
I cannot believe Leslie Stone orders these in bulk. Why are you breaking them so often?
And Spencer goes, she's got everybody fooled. And I'm like, yeah, but Spencer, you haven't figured her out yet. So I feel like you can just say like, who is she? Or like, it doesn't, she's got
who
everybody fooled.
She? Then we go to her trunk
this
and find a bunch of like Charleston, my dog size animal bunch, crates.
Four specifically.
Disassembled. And I'm like, all right, Spencer, just what the doctor ordered.
This
get
is
in.
A moment where I'm like, is Hannah trying to feed into the narrative that potentially she does need glasses? Because they show us the boxes. There's not only a picture of an animal cage on them, but also they're labeled animal cage.
Mm-hmm.
And Spencer freaks out. And Hannah goes, what? What's in those boxes?
Oh.
She's looking at them.
Yeah.
And they say animal cage on them.
It is true. And huge bold letters. And Spencer goes, unassembled animal cage. The unassembled is like hilarious. But I am like, okay, well, Hannah, start building. Because Spencer, you need to put Spencer in there. Honestly, Hannah is giving more like, I need crate time.
Right now, yeah. So we go to the junkyard. Yeah, Spencer like jumps 10 feet in the air. She's
like, no.
She's triggered by crate time.
Nice try. She's like, four of them, because I keep... Who told you I keep breaking out? Who told you I keep breaking them?
We go back to the junkyard, and Clark and Arya are looking around, and Arya's ready to leave.
Wait, this is so funny. When he goes, have you incinerated those photos? I wouldn't blame you if you did. But you know Arya's like, youch, that hurts. Okay, didn't know it was so hard to look at. Sorry
no,
for breaking
actually,
your camera,
no,
Clark.
I actually already am getting them developed and then sent to Michael's to get them framed for you.
Yeah, it was a gift.
And my ex-boyfriend. So he can replace that self-portrait that he still has above his desk.
He can hang it above his wall. He can make a gallery wall of portraits of moi. Just like everyone wants. So Clark is asking a lot of questions about the case. Have they caught the guy? Are they close?
And yeah, because Arya says... Arya's giving like a little kid who thinks everything's solved right now. Because she goes, well, they won't be watching us so closely for long.
Okay, Arya, you know nothing. at this moment, you know nothing. You've been gone. You've been MIA all day. And we've been having updates. We've actually been making strides. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she's like, oh, I think my tripod's over here. BRB. And she like goes to this other area and sees a doll. Of course, catches her eye. And she flips it upside down, which I would never think to do.
Mm-mm.
And out pops Arya's little pink streak head that we saw in the last day scene.
With a knife in its eye.
Oh, wait. I did not see the knife in its eye. Wow, that's...
And, like, blood dripping down it. Which is why Ezra later is like... Hey, Arya, girl... Why do we have it oriented like that? That was intentional.
Okay, I
she
said too.
She has it perfectly.
She has it perfect. She has the arms like up, like it's peeking out of her bag. And she's like, oh, you saw that? Like, it's so funny. I'm like, it's your bag charm. It might as well be. You like wanted me to see that.
So that's what she finds. Then we go to the brew and Emily has come to see Nicole. And we see kind of that she starts to hit it off with Ezra.
Well, yes. And we see, well, I'm not going to lie. I kind of felt like Nicole was also hitting it off with Emily.
Oh, yeah, a little bit. But I think it's more of like a mentorship, which I know the lines are blurred in this universe. So.
Yeah, mentorship usually means dating in the show. So right. That's what I, yeah.
Right. Nicole is casting a wide net in Rosewood.
Do you know what's crazy, though? Is that Nicole, yeah, maybe. Then Nicole was like, oh, I was just, you know, my dad lives in Florida. So I decided I'd just make a trip of the East Coast, I guess. But she says she has been put in charge of building a team for an 8-week project in Thailand. And she wants the same group that was on the last one. And I'm like, so you came to Rosewood without talking to Emily or knowing anything about her.
Remember.
I know, but I'm like, seems insane for you to travel from Florida to like try to recruit one person. I feel like you could have probably like Emily probably had an emergency contact sheet and you could have found Pam's number and you could have gotten it there.
That's so true.
Before you made
like,
the track.
Why couldn't we have had this love interest instead of
what we do?
What we do get.
Have, yeah, I agree.
I like this girl on my screen way more.
I
than
hate
I like
so much
Shower
that
Harvey.
I like have disdain for so many of Emily's relationships.
It's like they have it out for her.
It's like they're just not like it's.
I feel like they're like, okay, well, Emily's whole thing is that she's gay. So we can just throw these.
But I'm like, yeah, I'm like, that's all the more reason to make them like meaningful, better, fully fleshed out,
yeah,
good characters.
Her
you
relationship
know?
After Sarah, I think, is pretty good.
But I guess part of it is that it's supposed to be like Allison's her like OTP, like.
I guess so.
You know, because then like all these girls have their like person the whole show and Emily doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say what was Paige.
No.
You won't get me to say it. Especially not
I'll
live on air.
I always was really Maya. If Maya had stuck around a little longer.
I know. I miss Maya. I'm not going to lie.
Imagine your like first love being murdered and then buried basically in your backyard.
And then her ex-boyfriend who's obsessed with her trying to kill you.
Oh yeah. Never forget.
Never forget. And then you killing him.
And then
you have the skin of a killer.
Boyfriend.
We should make one of those TikTok videos that's like, Okay, put a finger down if you, and just like start telling like insane plot lines from Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Let's do it.
That'd be good.
And we'll do like Hannah Marin, and it'll be like, okay, put a finger down if you whatever. And okay, great. Let's do it tomorrow.
So we're at the brew, and
Nicole, Ezra told her everything.
Yeah, and Nicole says, when you got off that plane in Haiti, you were like not super likable, and you were like kind of lame and dull.
Okay, well, that is not what Nicole and said, and you like, are actually putting words in her mouth and insulting Emily Fields.
And then she's like, and helping other people put the light in your eyes.
So Emily's like, all right, I'm in. All right, I'm in. And can I have a plus one? Can I have a plus one? I was like, oh my God. Like, and it's like, I mean, Nicole's hitting the nail on the head here. She's like, helping other people really brought the light back in your eyes. And it's like, it's actually something I think you should explore in therapy. There is something where it's like codependence. Uh-huh. And that's what's happening actually, Emily.
Especially it's like a trigger. It's like a red flag in this scene. And then a red flag even more. So the conversation they have later when Emily pulls out of the trip.
Yes.
And she's like, I just, my friend.
Yeah.
It's like, girl.
I know, it's really obnoxious.
Obnoxious is the perfect word.
Then we see Shower. We're at Caleb's, at the office, and Caleb is out getting lunch. And so Shower's offering Spencer coffee. Yeah, why is Spencer here? Spencer needs to talk to Caleb. And she is just so friendly.
And you know who thinks it's weird? Is Sarah. Sarah's like, why are you
Sarah's
here?
Sarah's like, he's a girlfriend. Why are you here?
Yeah. Why are you here in like a trench coat with nothing under it?
Spencer. Spencer's also like being such a bitch. Spencer is so unfriendly. It's like, okay, I don't understand why this girl.
I don't understand why these girls like hate her. I mean, I don't like her.
It's because she's running up the water bill. But I don't know why they don't like her.
Exactly. I'm like, you guys all had this. Like, what?
You guys aren't. She's not staying with you. She's not using all your hot water. That's the big freaking deal.
You guys should like her more than Emily.
She didn't force you to get a tattoo. What's the big freaking deal?
And so Spencer gets a text from Vivi and out loud goes, oh my God.
I'm like, Spencer, you don't want Shower to talk to you, but you are dying for somebody to ask you a question. Like, what?
And she goes, it's just my mom. Vivi texted her and said, did you talk to your sister yet? Which is a text I get all the time.
So Spencer's like, hey, Shower, has anyone ever asked you to talk about it? My mom keeps asking me. Oh, and Sarah goes, my mom keeps asking me to, and reporters have offered money. And that's when Spencer mentions the whole valedictorian thing, humble brag. And Shower's like, well, I wish I had paid more attention at school. And Spencer's like, why? And I just want to say to Spencer, well, Shower like didn't get to go to school as much as you, Spencer. So don't sound like Spencer's like, school sucks. I hate school. Having lunch with friends, having parent-teacher conferences. Shower's like, mm-hmm. Been in the dollhouse for years. Like,
going to prom.
Literally, yeah. Like, I mean, literally. Shower didn't even get to go to their fake dollhouse prom.
Which is crazy when
I
think about it.
Which is actually so mean to leave her out.
She was just like a discarded toy.
Literally, wow. There you go.
Yes, my boy. Only breaks his favorite toys. Toys. Guys, Taylor doesn't get enough credit for her lower register.
I'm queen of sandcastles, he destroyed. You know, she is a deep ass voice.
Yeah, and she's not.
Her range is crazy. She actually has an insane range.
And I'm just tired of people pretending like they don't like her.
Me too.
And we've never said that
one
before.
One by one, we're
making more people not like her, probably you and me.
No, I think one by one, we're, because look, Megan Albatross did not like her.
I just don't like the adamancy that people have when that they don't like her. It's like, why?
We don't know her. But I mean, I have that about people too, and so do you.
No, but I mean artist wise. Like that they're like
I almost said Spencer. I was called you Spencer, sorry. Phoebe's like, okay, but when we don't like people, it's normal. It's fine.
Well, I just mean whatever. I'm getting worked up.
Back to the show.
So we go to the brew.
You're, by the way, fully horizontal.
Yes. Hormone harmony. Road warriors, let's get real. Managing PMS can be difficult. When I get on to record the podcast with Caroline, it can be tough sometimes to lock into a cheerful mood. But good news. With the help of Hormone Harmony, I am able to manage my PMS and so much more. It helps me balance my moods and even improves my sleep quality. Hormone Harmony is dedicated to making women's lives better. One of the ways they achieve this is through science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. These help your body adapt to stressors. Hormone Harmony is third-party tested, non-GMO, and gluten and dairy-free. It's no wonder to me a new bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. If you can even believe it, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code prettylittlepodcast at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code prettylittlepodcast for 15% off today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We go to the brew and Caleb is like waiting to get lunch for everybody. And he looks at this book called When Love Grows Toxic.
Wait. I'm sorry. We do just have to point out the one line that Shower said.
Oh.
She says to Spencer, she's like, you really should do it because if I could explain. And what she basically is saying, like, she doesn't have the words. Like, she doesn't feel like she's smart enough to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't go to school. So she's like, if I could explain how it felt to be down there and how it feels to be up here, right. I'd want everyone to hear it, which I think is pretty powerful. So who knew Shower would convince Spencer?
Not fucking me.
Anyway, now.
So now we're at the brew and Caleb is reading When Love Grows Toxic. And Ashley, imagine you are at Uptown Coffee. Imagine for the sake of this, that there are books in Uptown Coffee. And you pick up a book. And the person you're dating's mom comes in and sees that you're reading a book called When Love Grows Toxic. Oh
my, and meanwhile, your girlfriend has been acting toxic, like, outwardly, and everyone's noticed. So her mom is, like, fully aware that it's, like, not just an accident. Like, you would be reading it for a reason. But Ashley, our non-judgmental queen, I love her.
Well, because she's probably like, I could use that book.
She's honestly like, okay, I get it. She comes over and she's like, you don't need a book. And she's like, the world may never know what happened to her. Maybe she'll tell you or me or Dr. Sullivan, but maybe she won't. And she was like, she just, you know, she likes to keep you guessing. And then we get this sweet little anecdote of Hannah after Tom and Ashley broke up and Hannah would sleep with her and laugh at all the sad parts in movies and sob at all the jokes because she loves to keep people guessing.
Yes. And then Ashley talks about how she's like, she's still in there. And I saw a little bit of her last night when I yelled at her for leaving the freezer open
and defrosting $80 of groceries.
And we start to realize that Hannah just wants a little bit of normalcy. She doesn't want to be treated with kid gloves anymore. And when Ashley yelled at her, Hannah, like, smiled because she was like, finally, we're like a normal, like, mother-daughter.
Yeah, she was like, she looked up at me and she was thrilled. So I think we just need to treat her like like she's broken.
Caleb takes this advice.
Caleb's like, so fuck her.
Caleb takes this advice
so
to me.
So fuck her like crazy.
Okay, wait, I have to go absolutely rail
my girl. He goes home
girl.
And watches 50 Shades of Grey and he's like, I think I am picking up what you're putting down, Ash. And he fully,
he says the Kat Cohen, okay, so you think she wants to have raw dog sex with me?
And Ash is like, definitely not. So, okay, Aria is feeling paranoid on the phone with Emily. She does not want Emily talking to Dr. Sullivan. It's giving abusive relationship. You can talk to me, Em.
Aria is too, it's like, as soon as something bad happens to Aria, it's like the first time a bad thing has happened to any of
the
girls.
It's you guys, what about me?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So then Ezra knocks and she's shocked. But
she literally sees that she may as well like completely like, do a twirl, put a ball gown on and like fix her hair.
She's like, a gentleman caller. It's like Easy A. Oh, happy day, mama. That's the best movie ever.
Easy A.
Yeah.
So good. Anyway, I love that movie. Ezra's there because she left. Aria wanted everybody in the world to know that she was applying for this photo competition and she left her application at the brew. So Ezra hand delivered it instead of just waiting until she comes into the brew the next or like I don't know,
which is like any moment now. Ezra, you know she's gonna be there, like,
and she's literally gonna be there tonight.
And also I can't with Ezra goes, I saw that you needed a recommendation so I wrote you one. And he's like, if you want someone else, but I'm like, Ezra, okay, yeah, I'm her teacher and her boyfriend.
It's common knowledge now that you guys dated.
I bet,
like,
if I Google you, Ezra, I can find out.
I'm not going to like what I
see. This is not the student that I, just because she's unnamed because she's a minor, she's unnamed in the articles about you, doesn't mean that it's appropriate for you to be writing this letter.
Exactly. And so he says he like wrote all this stuff, and then he mentions that he still has her self-portrait over his desk.
Because did. I mean.
Right.
I did.
And then.
Don't come over, though.
And then he sees the doll that Arya has placed perfectly in her bag.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It was that Arya's put on display.
Exactly.
For a passerby to
and
see.
And she goes, oh, that's just something I was working on.
I did it for my photos.
Which don't you love that Ezra fully believes that?
And Ezra's like, oh. And he goes, okay, well, it's disturbing. I'm like, and Arya's like, okay, well, it's supposed to be me.
Well, my life's disturbing.
It's supposed to be me. You don't think she looks pretty? Right? That's two men today who have told me I looked bad in a portrait. In some type of a portrait. Great.
So we go to the Hastings Castle, and Dean is waiting outside.
Just, this is crazy.
Just so Spencer sees that he was, and then he leaves.
And he's mad. He's mad, mad, mad. And he's like, I just came to make sure you're okay, and you are. And she didn't go, what were they supposed to do?
She missed a meeting.
Okay. So she was like, I'm going to write the speech, whatever. And he goes, in my life, when someone doesn't show up or answer the phone, there is a very real possibility that they're lying in a gutter somewhere. And
okay,
I just want to say, Dean,
I understand what he's saying.
Were you really scared?
That's not what we're happened dealing with Spencer Hastings
because
right now.
I kind of feel like that's not what you thought. And you're acting like that is what you thought.
And I think that that means that you have a gross
misunderstanding.
Misconception of who Spencer is.
I think I want to know what VV told you exactly. VV's like, well, they don't just do a live-in sober coach for nothing, okay? I had to embellish a little bit, so.
VV fully told Dean that she was like, addicted to heroin.
Yeah, like she, I mean, Dean must think it's much worse than it is. Because, Vivi's like, well, in order for him to come stay, he needed to think
that, and that was
the situation
massive,
was extremely dire.
And that was
dire.
A massive mistake because my daughter's a fucking slut.
And then my daughter tried to fuck him. Classic. Should have seen that coming from a mile away.
I guess we need a sex coach too, but she just convert.
We don't need a sex coach. She's obviously good at it.
She's like,
she doesn't need to be coached.
We just need a live-in priest. Oh, wait, great. Oh, great. Spencer is fucking the priest.
Phoebe, and we just lost 75% of our listenership.
Oh, right, I forgot about our massive Catholic demographic.
We lost 25% of that demographic when they heard that the priest of the Vatican told me to go to hell. They were like, okay, what kind of podcast
when
is this? That happened, you guys.
And when I dared to say that our mom was going to write a letter to the papacy.
Yeah, that was crazy. Well, she was going to write one then, too. Mom, you've got a few letters to start writing. Get writing. You better get to step
want,
in, as mom says.
If you want it to be sent to the nice guy in charge right now, you better hurry.
You better start writing. I don't care if your hand is cramping. Time is of the essence.
Do you remember when Caroline was literally on her hands and knees begging me to do like a death list for 2025?
No.
And then I started to do it. And she goes, yeah, I think we should stop that.
Well, Phoebe like said some crazy shit.
I didn't.
Phoebe said some really inflammatory shit. I'm just glad we stopped when we did. It was really getting out of hand, you guys.
Anyway, so Dean walks back to his car. And then Spencer's like, wait, what are you doing?
Come and fuck up. A Joe
and
half calf
and okay mom,
she's like, it's past four, I'll make a half calf.
Mom at the coffee tree.
I know caffeine's a drug too. She said to Dean. He's like, I don't drink espresso, Spencer. Oh my god.
Oh my god, this is so fun. And you shouldn't either.
You know caffeine's a drug.
And he turns around and he goes, wait, you just do it.
He goes, I can't see you anymore. I need to stop seeing you. Every time you're near me, I just want to grab you and kiss you. The fact that you have a boyfriend isn't the problem, okay? The problem is I don't care.
It's like, who is
then he
it?
Takes a step forward and she takes a step back and he goes,
great.
Okay, goodbye, Spencer.
I have two qualms with this little monologue.
Okay.
Because one, it's like, Dean, you don't know her. Like, I don't... It's a little much to be like every time I'm around you.
I can't get you out of my brain.
You've seen her twice.
It's giving Edward Cullen to Bella.
Yeah, it is giving vampire a little bit.
Your blood is my favorite scent.
It's like, yeah. Dean. He's like, you know, when you're sober, your sense is heightened.
Yeah. He's like, I don't have dulled senses like you do, Spence. Okay. My Spencer senses, they're tingling. But I was eating it up. I was like, kiss her.
I did kind of think they would kiss.
Oh, I wanted them to so bad. I would have absolutely loved it.
I mean, Troy and Belisario could have chemistry with a brick wall.
Yeah, well, so that's your whole thing. They were like, okay, prerequisites for whoever plays Spencer. has to exude sex appeal even in a blazer, has to make everyone leave their relationship, leave their job at the church, leave their medical license behind, and leave everything behind.
And she also needs to scream, I don't care that I have a boyfriend.
Yeah. She needs to scream, oh, that old thing?
She's like, she's like, I mean, if he's in Bucks County, I still have to fuck.
She needs to scream, I'm Victorian, I don't have a phone, and he'll never know. She does look like she should be in, like, Victorian stuff, and she ended up here somehow.
Yeah, that is true.
You know what I mean?
She would have killed in Bridgerton.
Yes. Okay,
we
so...
We're at the Marin Manor, and we find
Caleb
out Ashley made,
is in heat.
Ashley made Caleb a key.
Oh, my God. Ashley's like, I have an idea. Let me make you a key.
Because this is so funny.
And go home and... And grab her by her hair and just toss her around a little bit. Like, what did Ashley say?
Hannah goes, Hannah's like, Caleb, how did you get in here? And Caleb goes, your mom made me a key. As though it's like not a big deal.
Hannah is mad about
that.
And
she's like,
that is crazy.
She goes, you don't need to come over here if you don't have a reason. He goes,
I have a reason. Yells at her and then starts kissing her like crazy. And she's so into it.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they do it. One thing leads to another, and I'm guessing they do it.
And I think that's a little... Okay, you have a slutty mind.
You don't think they're doing it?
No, this is a freeform show.
Phoebe, we've watched them do it.
Bitch, I'm joking.
We watched lots of people do it.
Whatever.
What do you mean, whatever?
I was just...
Like, half the reason you like the show.
I was just trying to make a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, you're obsessed with sex. And smut. Yeah. So, Phoebe is the smut addict here. Oh, she can't get enough. And that's why she wants to watch the show all the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We go to the field house.
Yeah, what? Okay, yeah. Showers fully scrubbing the floors at Emily's house. And I'm like, and that is what it must feel like to live with Pam Fields.
Yes.
I'm like, that perfect representation of living with Pam Fields, even for a month, you know.
And Emily's never actually, like, seen it in an external way. And she's like, what are you doing?
And also, Emily's never actually, like, stop. She's like, get it out.
She's like, how bad is it? Well, we do have to fix it. Yeah.
Emily's like, I mean, do you have another? I'll do it. But I mean, it does have to get done. So funny. She's scrubbing, I'm guessing, her own blood.
She just fucking watched like Annie. Like she just watched Annie and she's like doing a Hard Knock Life.
Right. No, that is the vibe. But it's carpet. And I'm like, girl, okay, never cleaned before. Okay, you really were in the dollhouse.
Okay, Sarah, have you been fucking locked away somewhere?
Yeah, what the hell? You know how to clean your body, that's for sure.
Well, we hope.
I mean, she's in the shower all the time.
We don't know what she's
doing in there. She has to be squeaky clean.
I hope.
Oh, Phoebe, stop. Oh, Phoebe, you must stop. She goes, I'll pay for the bike and I'll replace the whole carpet. With what money?
Well, she has a job now.
Oh, right. Oh, right.
She's making at least
techno boy toy Caleb Rivers.
Right.
She says she doesn't know what happened. She doesn't know if it happened on purpose, but she turned onto that straight behind the school and it felt like she was being followed. And then there was a dark car and it was going really slow. And then it sped up and the side mirror smashed into her elbow.
And Emily does what Emily loves to do, which is provide like leading information to get someone to make a confirmation.
Photo evidence specifically. Doesn't matter if you're asking for a nude photo, if you're asking for a headshot, or if you're asking for a photo of an automobile. She's got it.
And that's one of Megan's favorite moments.
It's probably your background.
When you say, and then Emily falls to the ground and the projection of the picture shoots out of her chest.
Man, how did I come up with that? My brain should be studied.
When we both realized, when we both imagine they do an MRI, there's like, it's empty.
They're like, they're like, we've never seen this before.
And you're telling us that she's up and talking, upright
like,
and moving.
We're like, so while there's absolutely nothing tangible inside her skull, there's a lot of paranormal activity. There's a lot of activity and things moving around in there, but we don't grasp them. It's
I do love that when that storyline happened, you and me both were on the same page of
why did they all ask Emily for the picture?
Emily's the one with the picture still on her phone.
We pretty quickly clocked the fact that anytime there's an opportunity for the show to be like, and she's the gay one, they were gonna do it. Anyway,
so Emily shows. Somehow there's a picture. They have a picture of Leslie's car.
Well, I guess Hannah took that picture, but I'm also like, nothing is funnier than the idea that I was having in my head, because Emily shows Leslie the picture of the car. And she's like, that was it. And it's Leslie's car. And I'm like, okay, but last I heard Hannah Marin was driving that car. So I'm like, Emily's like, I cannot fucking believe my friends would do this. They're tired of me having you here. This is too far, Hannah. This is one step too far.
Oh my God.
I am like, that's so funny.
I wish Emily had
good. What if Shower's like, yeah. And the girl that was driving it was blonde. She was blonde and she looked a lot like your friend Hannah. Like, what if Shower is just trying to do this?
Oh, my God. I love the idea that Hannah's a bad driver.
I know.
I think that...
That Hannah's the one who hit Shower and didn't even know, sideswiped her and didn't even realize. And they're like, it must be sinister. And it's just Hannah on her way to return the car to the valet. And she didn't see Leslie.
Little do we know, she's been, like, hitting the side mirrors of all these cars.
Quick question. Wait, no, this is a really quick question. Hannah had to go to Philly to get that car. And Sarah was hit by a car behind the school today.
Well, we know that they're portals.
Right, but if there weren't, can we talk about if there weren't for a second? How the hell does that work?
Well, that's just like a stupid question. We don't live in that reality where there aren't portals.
I know, but like, can you be real for a second? Like,
I think Rosewood is like 40 minutes away from Philly. Like, it's not
such
far.
Bullshit. Not people getting annoyed with me for having a question.
Well, don't ask stupid questions.
It's not stupid.
Don't ask questions.
You answered it with there are portals.
Don't.
It's not a stupid question.
Don't ask questions you don't know the answers to.
Okay, I won't anymore.
So
I usually don't. Aria, by the way, can't believe Leslie experiments on animals.
I do just need to say, Emily, at the end, as they're scrubbing the blood out of the carpet, Emily goes, we can get out of here.
You know what? We're going to Thailand. We're not scrubbing this carpet anymore. We're going to Thailand. Shower goes, my mom will never let me. I'm like, and isn't that why you got emancipated? Why does your mom get a say?
What I love is that Emily does always have, like, for every rational thing that Sarah says, Emily's like, and we'll talk to you. Like, even just the getting emancipated.
Yes.
When she was like, I can't not live with my mom. And Emily goes,
we'll get you emancipated.
Exactly. It's like, it's Emily.
Holy shit. She's like, okay, that wasn't enough. We'll move to Thailand. It's just like, she's like, I'm not going to let anything happen to you.
It's too much. I'm ready for it to be over.
It's a lot of pressure.
So we go to Leslie's lab and Aria, Hannah, and Spencer are walking in there. They're looking for receipts, I guess. I'm like, why would she keep them here?
Yeah.
She's a TA. Like, true. What the hell? And Aria goes, guys, I almost told Ezra everything. And they're like, everything what? Everything about what?
Doesn't he know everything? Actually, do you mean he told you everything? Because last I checked, he's the one who has been doing the research.
Literally. Like, and Spencer's like, you guys aren't even fucking dating. Like, Aria, did you forget you're single?
Literally, she's like, I hate lying. And Spencer's like, okay, well, you're not even together. So why would you have to tell the truth? You don't have to tell the truth to anyone you're not dating. That's why I'm dating Toby. Because otherwise I could lie to him.
And she's like,
but I do kind of love, Spencer's like, well, when has that like stopped you before, whatever. And she goes, that's not really fair to Ezra. Because Aria was like, well, he's just like who I go to. And Spencer was like, okay, well, that's not fair. And I'm like, not Spencer finally calling Aria out on being unfair and selfish. Once somebody did it.
Okay, Sparia.
The dissolution of Sparia right before my eyes.
Or they're just account. You love that word today and yesterday.
You love calling me out on stuff.
Anyway. Anna's walking around and we start hearing this metal detector beeping and Spencer starts moving Hannah's head around to figure out what's making the noise.
It's like Spencer's the claw in a claw machine at an arcade and she grabs Hannah's head and Hannah just like allows it.
Hannah goes,
get off me!
Hannah goes, why am I beeping? I haven't even stolen anything
yet. You smell like pot, Spencer. Get off me. reek of drugs.
And then she like keeps beeping. She's beeping way, way more, way more. And Hannah goes, why are we like radioactive?
And what I can't believe is that Spencer, her first thought,
she says it,
bitch chipped us,
dude. What?
That was your first thought, not like.
And what, Spencer? It's very unlike you to phrase something like that.
Maybe Hannah just has like tinsel in her hair. Like
Caroline's obsessed with people having tinsel in their hair.
Well, it was so funny when I went to Nakama.
It was funny.
And the guy was like, "Did I say this?" And the guy was like,
"We said it on Tuesday."
Okay, never mind. You guys can go listen to that episode if you want to know what he said.
And please do. We go to the brew and Emily walks in and she's like, Nicole, I can't go.
I just should not have said this. I should not have said it. I can't leave my friend behind.
And I'm like, Emily, you actually need to leave her behind. And she at one point will be begging for it.
And I just think what we kind of realize here is that Emily's been replacing her own trauma with Shower's.
Because
she's like, well, she's helping me more than I'm helping her, honestly. And it's like, okay, now that we've clocked that,
Then we have like a Nicole big sister moment. She goes, Emily, I hate to be the one to break it to you, but you have feelings for Sarah.
She goes, yeah, is Sarah capable of returning your feelings? And I was like, what?
Emily's like, are you crazy? Have you seen her haircut?
Emily's like, I thought this... Okay, I thought this was happening. I totally thought this was happening. And Nicole's like, oh, I'm with Z. I'm staying with Z. So I'm here. Emily's like, perfect.
Awesome.
I'm glad I just proposed to Shower and asked her to move to Thailand with me. And you're here for Z. Even though I guess I just said that Emily thinks, whatever. Emily's thinking.
But you guys basically know what we're saying. Stop asking.
Guys, don't ask questions you don't know the answer to.
Well, yeah, we go to the lab, and Hannah's in this room, and this is Hannah's in her PETA era in this moment.
Literally, I was like, this is giving, but like, I'm half expecting when this happens, it's so
for
funny.
For Aria to be like,
Aria's like, Hannah, you finally. She starts singing.
No, she's like, Hannah, good for you, finally taking a stand.
Yeah,
finally, yeah. And I can't, oh my gosh, I'm going to take you to all my favorite vegan restaurants.
Yeah.
And we are going to protest.
And we're
going to
go through your
testing.
Closet and throw away everything and all your beauty that's not clean.
Oh, this is going to be so great for us.
Oh my God. I also think it's funny that Aria, your true colors really came out in this episode because you could not stand being around these animals.
No.
The rat crawled on you, you freaked out.
Which,
I mean, I would have freaked out too, but I'm not a vegan.
Which would easily be able to handle.
I would have freaked out, but I'm not a vegan. So vegans aren't allowed to freak out about animals.
Vegan, you need to be comfortable with a rat sneaking over
your
shoulder.
I better not hear that a mouse is in your house and you don't want it there if you're a vegan. That's just the rules. You have to be okay with raccoons in your house.
Guys,
you have to be okay living in Grey Gardens if you're a vegan.
Guys, we are totally fine with vegans.
When you commit to being a vegan, they take you to Grey Gardens and they're like, spend a night here. And then if you can't do it, you don't get to be vegan. Or you don't get to tell anyone you're vegan. And that's why vegans always want to tell everyone, because they earned it. Okay? Guys, I'm just messing. You know that, right? Just freaking messing around.
We love vegans.
We're all family, right? You know, messing around.
Family, family, family.
Okay.
So Hannah has like a PTSD moment back to the dollhouse. So she starts letting all the animals out and Spencer comes in. And Hannah goes, she can't keep any more things in a cage.
Yeah. And then Hannah's about to open the window to allow all the animals to just fully escape. And Spencer's like, stop it. The alarm will go off. The campus police will show up. And then the raccoon like stands up on its hind legs and starts moving. She goes, is it on speed? Why is that raccoon moving like that?
And Spencer goes, it could be on a lot of things.
Yeah, it's in a lab. We are testing on animals. Aria's like, I knew it. I didn't like that bitch. So then Aria walks in with an invoice and gets really startled by the raccoon. And I honestly was so shocked that Aria wasn't like, I got this, you guys, and pick it up like a baby and like kiss it on the mouth and like carry the animals out. They all follow her and she like walks them out of the air. Like, that's what I thought was going to happen.
With her fist in the air.
When that didn't happen, I was like, I will remember this. Yeah.
And then the lights go out and then a lamp turns on.
Wait, no, something else happens before that.
The rat.
That's so funny. They're like, do we have any food? Like,
oh,
any
yeah.
food? And Hannah reaches in her purse and pulls out cheese sticks. Hannah, those need to be refrigerated.
But they look like Cheetos.
Oh my God, I thought they were actually cheese
well,
sticks.
Well, I did too. And I was like,
well,
that,
then
why
should
they
say cheese sticks?
Bag like this? I don't know.
You know?
But they were Cheetos.
And then she's like, don't give them all. That's my dinner. I'm like, well, Caleb will make you dinner, Hannah, if you
which
want.
Which is really it's giving me flashbacks to high school, staying long enough after school that you had to be in
yeah.
rehearsal and you just have like a plastic bag of like pretzel sticks for dinner.
Yes. Yeah, the best. So the lights go off. When they come on, we see, okay, she's always around. Mona's here. She says, have you guys lost your minds?
And they say, have you lost your mind?
Why did you turn the lights off? She's
and
like, because I'm not an idiot. I didn't want the security guards to see the light on.
The girls are like, the chick is freaking up, Mona.
Yeah.
I know that you're working with Leslie and it's not freaking cool.
And Mona's eyes are just like rolling out of her head. She's like, okay, I'm going to like let you explain whatever you want to explain, but you guys are stupid. And Mona kind of debunks a lot of stuff. So she says, Leslie hated Bethany Young and Leslie is not pretending to be Charles. She's pretending to be stable. And Mona actually asked Leslie about Charles and she had only heard Charles's name once. The night that Bethany Young snuck out and never came back. Apparently, Charles snuck out that night, too. But
and
at that time...
They say that this doesn't make sense because, according to Charles's file, he should be dead at that point.
Yeah, the night Bethany snuck out, Charles was already dead. But not according to Leslie. And so, apparently, the whole sanitarium went on lockdown that night. And then Spencer's like, no, I'm going to prove this. Like, he was dead. Look at the file. And Mona immediately debunks it. She's like, nobody
Wait, this
would
is
want
so
his.
Funny.
I'm like Spencer.
Spencer hands.
How
Mona
embarrassed
the
is Spencer in this moment?
Well, oh my God, I can't imagine. Spencer hands Mona the file, and Aria goes, Spencer, what the hell are you doing? And Spencer goes, I make copies.
That was so funny. This is Spencer's like gotcha moment, or so she thinks. And yeah, her I got copies moment. But then what I think is funny is when I was like, okay, well, nobody would want his organs with the medications he was taking. He's not an eligible donor.
Literally.
And I'm like, Spencer, there's no way you didn't read that and not think of
come
that.
Come on,
and that's
girl.
What I think embarrasses Spencer. She doesn't know that. So she's like,
and
okay.
And then Arya's like, well, okay, maybe that doesn't check out, but clock this. I have a picture of A.
Yes.
And A is a girl.
And Mona goes, okay, well, if you caught A in a photo, it's because A wanted to be caught. And she says, Charles is alive. He's planning something big and he wants to keep us all distracted with this Leslie thing, which is when the campus police knock on the room. So everyone has to like hide.
Hannah has a little rendezvous with a rat. And now yes. We have a final montage.
And honestly, Hannah handles it better than Arya.
100%. Ken is calling a bunch of doctors trying to figure out about Charles.
He's like secretly in his car making these phone calls.
Yeah. Hannah's filling Emily in and like shows Emily her chip and like all this stuff, and they're talking about that.
She's like, that's why your neck hurts.
Exactly. And I'm like, guys,
bitch chipped us.
Why haven't you, like, I know that we've been like making subtle acknowledgments about our necks feeling weird, but like not enough for me to be like, your necks have been in pain.
Right. I kind of forgot. And I was like, oh, but then I was like, Emily's always like sore somewhere. She's an athlete.
If there's a lump at the back of my neck, I'm noticing.
Yeah. And I'm also, yeah, for sure. Oh, my God.
So then Spencer's at this NA meeting and Dean is not there. Noticeably, there's one empty chair.
Yes.
Empty chairs.
Which I'm also like,
empty tables.
Wow, that was great. Which I'm also like, if I'm Spencer now, I'm actually like, okay, when one of my friends doesn't show up to a meeting, I think they could be dead in a ditch somewhere. Like,
yeah.
I'd actually be scared of that for Dean. And well, I'm like, Spencer, you should be like making some calls.
I'd also be like, Dean, fuck you. I'm doing what you did to me.
I would also be like, Dean, that's uncool and manipulative of you, because if that's how you think, then you would know how important it is to text Spencer and tell her, I'm just going to meeting somewhere else, but you're not going to see me at this meeting anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so that like she wouldn't think something horrible happened.
Especially
maybe
after you got into a fight.
Right, exactly.
After you were literally rejected by the town harlot.
Yeah.
How embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God.
How embarrassing to be rejected by the girl who
will
kiss anyone.
Phoebe's kidding. We are not, like Meredith Marks, we do not support slut shaming. We cry about it nightly, okay? So please. But we learned that Charles was never dead. The only reason he gave his name up to Spencer in her dream is because he thought they'd never get out of there. And so, whatever.
Arya goes to her safe space, or so she thinks.
The rear window, bro.
To find Z. But what does she see?
Z and Nicole flirting over books. Over books?
And then...
he says, hello, little girl. Do you like books?
Emily comes home and sees Sarah sleeping on sleeping in Emily's bed over the covers.
Also, I just want to say, Pam Fields got real cool real fast. Because yeah. We were
Maya's
having...
Maya's up in heaven like, what the
yeah.
Fuck?
All right, Maya's like, I went to True North and died. Basically died because of this. Because I had a crush on Emily Fields. Big mistake. Like,
on
literally.
Pam Fields' daughter ruined my life.
Literally. Like, I think it's hilarious that Pam Fields has just been like, yeah, and you two will sleep in the same bed every night.
That's
and
crazy.
It won't be weird. I'm going to give you ample opportunity to do it.
And I just don't believe that there's not a guest room.
I know. It's so weird. So Emily like is checking her neck for a scar to see if she was also
it's
chipped.
It's like, oh, you're fully breathing on her neck and touching and poking her.
Yes.
Yeah, she's going to fucking wake up.
Yeah, and yes, she's going to think you're trying to fuck. You're
and
like hovered over her on the bed like with your caressing her neck.
And Sarah wakes up, turns around, kisses her.
I was like, shower, are you sleepwalking? Because this is a bold move. I know, maybe I should go to expect this from her. She cut all her hair off. She got an insane tattoo in the middle of her back. And now she's doing this. I don't know why I'm actually doubting that she's like, bold as fuck.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what does this mean? Do I have to now be like, okay, they're dating?
Just for a little bit.
Oh my oid.
Let me go to like, it's not really an AC, but it kinda is. Ken is digging up Charles's grave and we see this letter that says, this is the letter that he got earlier. Dear Daddy, coming home for my birthday. You should plan a party to die for. Just you. Love, Charles.
Oh my God, Kenny D, you are going down.
You're going hashtag.
And by down, I mean 6 feet down.
Down for real.
It's going down. That was pretty good.
That sounded like Mario music.
Thanks. So there's someone watching him dig, which makes it the A scene. But I think Kenny D is going down. This felt like kind of a big episode for it to only be episode 6.
I know, and it felt short.
Yeah. So even though you watched it twice, it must have felt short.
Yeah.
If you can say it felt short and you watched it twice, then oh my God.
It felt long the first time.
All right. Let me read our synopsis for next week. All right. Season 6, episode 7, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? There are mixed emotions in the De Laurentiis household when Charles declares he is coming home for his birthday. Okay, well.
Rock on.
Rock on. Can't wait to go to Charles's birthday party. Heard it's going to be to die for. Oh! All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Apologies for no recap last week. It was the freaking holidays, but I hope this is our first episode of 2025. I hope it was great. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you're excited for a very exciting year of the Pretty Little Podcast. Let us know what you'd like to see from us in this year, whether that's on Patreon or here or on social media, whatever. Lots of fun things are coming, but we would love to hear from you. And here's what you can check out in the meantime. We have our episode for all honorary Connell sisters for December on Patreon was with my BFF Addie. And it's very, very fun. If you want to hear some firsthand retellings of Connell lore, she's got some great stories. She's also just hilarious. She's a comic in Chicago, and we're going to plug some of her cool stuff. If you're in the area, you can go check her out. We've got some voice memos from Caroline you can check out, some 2025 well wishes. We also have a podcast from last week. And then if you haven't already listened to our episode from Tuesday of this week, our last episode of 2024, we dive into the Paige and Craig Conover, Paige DeSorbo and Craig Conover breakup. So sad, although we are happy for them, we are grieving. And we talk a little bit about the updates with the Justin Baldoni, Blake Lively thing. You can find a deep dive on that on our Tuesday episode from the week of Christmas. It came out on Christmas Eve. And other than that, you can expect some fun stuff. Troy and Belisario has a new show coming out this month, and we are going to recap the pilot on Patreon at the end of the month, so get excited for that. We're going to do an episode talking about our New Year's resolutions. We'd love to hear from you guys on what yours are. And lots of reality TV to talk about as well. So make sure you are turning in every Tuesday and Thursday to the Pretty Little Podcast, and check out the Patreon to make sure you get access to our unfiltered thoughts. Please, please, please. Also, we want to start the year out on a good foot. So go give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen, and tell a friend about it. I promise it will be the greatest gift you could give them. If you forgot to get them a Christmas gift, there you go. You're welcome. We solved it. All right. We love you guys so much, and we will see you next week.
And splat.
And splat.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.